up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Oh, good to see you, brother. I'm so ready to talk about this movie.
Next, we have got Peter. Pete, how you doing?
Hey, I watched this movie very closely, and I still have no clue how to pronounce Berlioz. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. And we've got a full platoon tonight. We got Steve. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, everyone. Pete, I agree with you. That last name, wasn't sure how to say it.
Different characters said it differently. It was confusing.
Are you talking about one of the three kittens?
Yes.
Yes.
Like Bear and then Lee and then O's. Berlioz.
Berlioz. But that's not how everybody said it. But okay, we'll go with that.
Okay. So you got Marie. Berlioz. We've got Marie. We've got Cheerios and we've got. Toulouse. Guys, if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, share. We got a bunch of fun shows coming up and you don't want to miss any of them. But tonight, as you may or may not have been able to tell, we are discussing The Aristocats. This was one of the first movies that came out post-Walt, because it came out in 1970, and features a very... The reason we're doing Aristocats is because it features a very, very strong mother in Duchess, who goes after her kittens, who does everything to stay together as a family. So... That's kind of was our thinking behind The Aristocats. So, Pete, I'm going to start with you. No, I got to start with Kate on this one because she's the one who's the defender of the, as you can see, faith on this one. Kate, what made us want to be a cat?
I love this movie. This is a movie that I would put on and just watch. I got very excited when we said we were going to watch it. This movie holds up. Yes, there are some problematic part. There are a few problematic parts, but overall, the characters are so lovable. The girl cats are so sassy. The two geese make me laugh every single time. The voices are so, and I know Derek's going to be like, I didn't want to see Baloo as a cat, but Thomas O'Malley's voice is like everybody was voiced so perfectly, in my opinion. It just is exactly what I would expect them to sound like. The music fits. It's not too much music. It's not too little music. The music just fits with the theming of the show. Oh my gosh, the animation. There was one part I've never caught before. I caught something different this time. When Edgar, the butler, when he's listening and they're like, oh, I'm going to give him the cats. And then when the cats die, he gets everything. He makes this smile face and he looks exactly like Frank from The Rescuers Down Under. The little
lizard.
Yeah, the little lizard guy. Frank, get the keys, the keys, the keys. It's the exact same face. So I really, really like this movie. I quote this movie regularly. I don't have a lot negative to say about this. Pete, what about you?
Yeah, I do enjoy this movie a lot. I especially like what I'm going to call like the main plot, the story of Duchess and Thomas O'Malley, trying to get back to Paris and the way that, you know, they kind of fall in love and the interaction with the kids. I do agree. I actually really like Phil Harris, who is the voice of Thomas O'Malley and also Blue. And also we recently watched
Little John.
Robin Hood. He was Little John. he's always the same character, more or less. He doesn't have a lot of range as an actor, but I think he's perfect as Thomas O'Malley. I really like, I think this is Ava Gabor, right?
It's Ava. Yeah.
She did a really nice job with Duchess. The kids are actually not obnoxious, which is great. So I really enjoyed that main story and everything like that. And the, you know, having to, defeat the villain and everything like that, that it, you know, even though he's a pretty awful, I mean, in a way, pretty awful villain, and that he basically wants to throw these cats in the sewer or whatever. He's so bumbling that he's not really a threat. So you never feel like the cats are particularly in danger, which is, I think, good for kids too. So, what about you, Steve?
I like the music. My other half is a huge jazz person. So I've actually heard other jazz artists sort of perform the song. So it's there. I actually have never seen this movie. I thought I had never seen it. And I love the sassy Marie. She cracked me up. She reminded me some of my students of who could hold their own against the boys, and the boys have no clue, which just cracked me up. I liked the geese. The geese cracked me up. Because the entire scene was to me hilarious. A few of them going back and forth. I really enjoyed that. And the story, for the most part, it was entertaining. Like, I feel like we've seen this story multiple times. So it was an enjoyable story.
Okay. I loved the cat mannerisms that they managed to get into the cats. Especially Thomas O'Malley, as he's singing Thomas O'Malley Cat, the laying around and the rolling off of stuff is big cat, is a truly relaxed cat. Yes, Duchess preening herself, whatever. Thomas was the one that acted like a real cat. Just as far as, you know, that big old relaxed Tom cat, lolling, big old relaxed Tom house cat, lolling all over the place. I love just about anything Sterling Holloway is in. As Roquefort the mouse, there are very few things he has done that I have not liked. Very few characters he has done I have not liked. It's been in some stuff I didn't really care for, but very few characters he has done that I have not liked. And this is one of them. This is one that I did like. It looked. We'll get into the look of things a little bit later. On a question, I've got some comments about how it actually looked as a cartoon, but I loved the, it made me believe that they were actually, that especially Thomas and Duchess were actually cats. And as Pete said, the kids were not annoying. Yes, the one that was always acting like super, you know, going to be super tough, but then really wasn't. Did that have shades of Simba? Absolutely. Young Simba? Absolutely. Which I wouldn't be. I mean, there had to have been some connection there just because, I mean, it was there. Interestingly, this actually started as it was originally going to be a 2-episode show on Wonderful World of Color. And it expanded. Mm-hmm. Walt had a little bit of input into this, but this was mostly done by the same crew that did Jungle Book. And Jungle Book came out in 67, which was after Walt passed away. Walt died in 66. So, okay. So if that's what made us want to be a cat, Steve, I'll let you have first shot at this one. What reminded us of a square with a horn making us wish we weren't born?
Okay. My biggest thing is the villain. I mean, yes, he was not very nice, but it sort of reminded me of a version of Horace and Jasper from 101 Dalmatians. Mm-hmm. Not very competent. Just come on, hound dogs were smarter than he was. I think that was my biggest part. He was villain, but I wanted the big evil Disney villain. I think that's the biggest thing. I also found, like, previous things we've seen was all these little snippets that were sort of loosely joined together, but not a very strong, coherent story. I feel like some scenes, even though I love the geese, that could have been totally removed and we would not miss anything in the story.
I totally agree on that one. Yeah. Okay. For me, the biggest issue I had, okay, two big issues. One, they basically used, they used a ton of the same voice actors as they had in Robin Hood. A ton, like most of them were also in Robin Hood. Yes, you said, you know, I'm going to say something about Phil Harris as Thomas O'Malley. The biggest issue is, again, he always plays the same character. So it takes some of that believability out of it, as Pete said. But my biggest issue with this is the animation. Wow, were there times that the animation on this was so rough. You could still see the line, like the sketch line, the center lines on the heads as they were going through. It's just, I know that was, that kind of became the Disney style there for a little while. I know 101 Dalmatians kind of did that. Robin Hood was a little bit more polished than this, actually, I thought. This reminded me of some of the goofy cartoons of the time where it wasn't really super sharp because they were trying to get this done in a hurry. But the animation, and then, as Steve said, the story, it reminded me of a combination of 101 Dalmatians and Lady and the Tramp, because you had the two dogs.
Oh, 100% on that. It definitely felt like a ripoff of those two. Yeah, with cats.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, now when I say the animation, I don't care that some of the shots get reused through Disney animation. That does not bother me. Like, some of the dancing scenes are always the same. Snow White with Dopey danced the same as Maiden Marian, danced the same as, I don't care. That's rotoscoping. It's for speed. I don't care if you do the same movements, but make it look good. Like, you can tell, I mean, the scene where he jumps onto the back and of the truck and hangs off is literally how Pongo hung off in 101 Dalmatians. So it's just, it was fine, but there were a lot of problems in my eyes. Kate, anything that you saw that you didn't like?
Yeah, the Asian cat playing the piano.
Yeah. And as you said, we threw that out there. That's a stipulation that when all his lines are just different Chinese food terms.
Yeah, that was not great.
That
was one of the only ones where I was like, that didn't age well. I mean, yeah, there are some parts that Steve is right. There are some parts, especially like with the geese, that really had no purpose other than just making me chuckle. I will tell you, so a little bit of a side story. My best friend and I have read through the Bible twice now. And in the New Testament, there are these two women that travel with the apostles, and their names are Priscilla and Aquila. And I have always, anytime I think about them, I picture them as these two geese. And that's fine. And that's today's reading, everyone. Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Though, that's just that. I don't have a lot negative about this movie. Pete?
You talk about using the same characters or the same voice actors. I am not a big fan of what I'll call Beverly Hillbillies humor, and Napoleon and Lafayette, outside of naming them Napoleon and Lafayette, which Lafayette was the one that defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, I believe.
Lafayette was also French.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Helped us in Revolutionary War. Have you never seen Hamilton? I mean, come on.
But anyways, you know, other than the reference of their names to French generals, I just when they went back to them at a point, I was like, this is clearly, they didn't have 85 minutes of footage and they needed to flesh out the story, and none of that was necessary. And
it was a 75 minute show.
Well, whatever it was, it was that stuff. I get it. It's slapsticky. It probably appeals to the kids. That's that particular stuff with the two dogs kind of drove me crazy. And I agree, the villain, I mean, I said I liked his part in the story, but he needed to have a plan that made some kind of sense, because like, okay, so you find out that the cats are going to inherit the money, but you're going to take care of the cats. That means you have the money, buddy.
And when the cats die in 15 years, you're going to get the money.
And then when the cats die, or wait until she dies and then kill the cats, because then no one's going to care. So, dumb plan by a dumb villain. So,
that's fair. Okay, so being Mother's Day, I want to ask you to think about, of all the Disney moms, last year we talked about which Disney mom we thought was, you know, who was the best Disney mom. That's not what this is. This is, what Disney mom would you like as your mother? Okay. Kate, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Does Pixar count?
Sure, why not?
Probably Helen Parr.
Why?
Oh, I think I took somebody's. So I'm going to take that back.
No, keep it, Kate.
I just think that she's the most down to earth. I actually was going to say Duchess, because I really like Duchess in this movie. But Helen and Bob are just such a great pair, and she's so real. And I feel like they show the real frustrations of parenting. And yet she's still, I don't know. I'm not a parent though. So, I think she is who I would want to be my mom. And I know that I'm probably going to come up with another one while you all go around. So, Pete, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take yours.
No, I have a backup. she doesn't have a name, but I'm going to go with Andy's mom, because Andy's mom raised two kids on her own. They did not turn out particularly messed up, it seemed like, based on what we know about them. We don't know too much about the daughter, but Andy seemed okay, well adjusted and everything like that. She, you know, threw him a nice birthday party on his birthday and everything like that. We don't even know what happened to the dad, whether he left her or he died or what, but she was always there for her kids in all three of the movies. So I'm going with Andy's mom. I think she would have made a great mom.
I'm going to stick with the Pixar theme, and I'm going a little bit out of the box, but I'm going with Ellie from Up, because her sense of adventure, for me, I'm very cautious with things. So I could jump into things, but it takes me a little bit more. But to have someone like that, or the sense of just jump in and try something. So I would pick Ellie from Up.
And I'm not going to go Pixar. I'm going to go with a mother that doesn't spend a lot of time, and we don't even know her full name. I'm going Mrs. Jumbo. I'm going Dumbo's mother.
Wow.
Because a mother who has fun with her kid when they're one-on-one, desperately loves her Dumbo, and seems to still, apparently is in connection with Jumbo the elephant enough to name him after him, because he's Jumbo Jr. But, I mean, is literally willing to get locked up to protect her son's dignity. So, I mean, I don't think any of us have gone wrong. I mean, we have definitely seen some not good examples of mothers. But
Red, the movie Red.
Lady Tremaine, she's the best.
Well, you know, for her.
She was good for two of her kids.
The biological ones, yeah. Nemo's mom. Oh, wait, that's a short. That's even shorter.
I was actually thinking of saying that just to get a rise out of you guys.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, yeah, so I'm going to go, Mrs. Jumbo on that one. Gina, I'm going to actually jump you in real quick here.
Okay. So I had first.
Get two. You only get
no,
one.
No. I'm just going to say first I had Helen. Then I picked Andy's mom. Then I picked. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to go with. Who was I going to pick after this? So I was going to go with what's the Mrs. Darling. She's a good mommy to her, to ladies. So ladies.
It's just Darling.
Just Darling. Yeah. Her name's just Darling. Yeah. Darling and Jim Deere.
Yeah, Darling. That's I was like, she's a good dog mom. And then when she has her baby, she's good. So I had to go real deep because you took my two. Yeah. So.
You said that. I thought you were talking about Mrs. Darling from Peter Pan.
Man.
That's a good choice, too.
Actually, Mrs. Darling, because in the play, she like reads her husband the absolute riot act for how he's and
I pick Nana.
She's the one sitting at the, she sits at the window.
Oh, yeah, she does.
Because in the play, they're actually gone for a stretch of time.
Yeah.
Peter Pan, rather than just that one night, supposedly. So anyway, all good choices. Thank you, Gina. Okay. As we always do when we watch movies like this, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5. Kate, what's your rating on Aristocats?
4.5. I like this movie.
I'm going to give this a 3. What did I give last week for Visions?
3.5.
3.5.
You gave Rocketeer a
3. Visions?
No, well, I'm just thinking of the ratings. I gave Rocketeer a 3.
Yes.
3.5 for this.
Okay. What did I give Lady and the Tramp?
You gave the Lady and the Tramp a 2.
Oh.
I like this better than Lady and the Tramp for sure.
2.5.
Okay. And I'm going to give it a 3 just because there were moments I liked, and it's better than any of the stuff we've watched lately that I've given 2.5s to, but it's not quite as good as some of the stuff I gave 3s to, but it was closer to the 3s than the 2.5s. Like, I would definitely watch this before I'd watch Rocketeer again. So
I would agree with that. That's, yeah.
I'm shocked I'm the lowest.
Well, I'm not shocked I'm the highest.
No one's shocked on that one. So
I love it.
What have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yeah, only two things, excuse me. Disney this quarter came out with a better than expected financial report, with the biggest surprise being that Disney Plus gained subscribers this quarter and actually would have been profitable if not for the ESPN Plus portion.
Yeah, the ESPN Plus portion is hemorrhaging. Like, it's what lost $30 million. The rest of Disney Plus this quarter actually, and Hulu both, made money. So, and yeah, as you said, it was, I think, 6 or 7 million viewers. And yeah, I think a good chunk of that's Taylor Swift. And they're viewers that have stayed on. I do know with the ESPN, they're actually looking at later this year, it will eventually be its own. It's going to be split off from Disney Plus as opposed to combining stuff. It's going to be its own thing because it's hemorrhaging lots and lots of cash.
I feel like there was a point at which ESPN was making Disney a ton of money, but I feel like it's been a while since that has happened.
Yeah.
All right. And last but not least, Disney announced that Marvel will only be putting out at the most 3 movies and 2 series per year. This follows many discussions, including on here, that they need to focus on quality over quantity. 3 movies a year still seems like a lot to me.
Not compared to the 4 plus movies and 4 or more series that they were doing there for a little while.
Yeah, oh, I don't know if they ever quite got to 4 a year, but yeah, it's definitely, I think rolling back the series is the important stuff.
But it's interesting on that one because when Eisner commented on that, he said that there's still a couple that are, okay. Michael Eisner, why not? But it's a way back. But he said that there's still a couple that are going to be coming that are remnants of the writer's strike and the whole quantity over quality. And he specifically mentioned the Agatha Harkness series.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for that. So, but yeah, I'm not upset that we're going to see less Marvel. Because there was a stretch there where there was a ridiculous amount of bad Marvel coming out.
Yeah, I'm good with two like 2 to 3 movies a year and 2 series a year seems enough.
I agree.
Yeah. So speaking of franchises that seem to put out a ton of stuff or not, we are jumping back into the Star Wars universe and we're going to watch the set of shorts, Tales of the Empire. These are animated shorts that take place, 1,000 years before New Hope?
No, these don't. So these are based
on the Empire, right? This is like between Revenge of the Jedi and New Hope.
Yes, there's basically two characters. One is Barriss Offee, which is no one here will know. She was one of the characters. She was a friend of Ahsoka's in the Clone Wars. And then the other character is the witch that was in the Ahsoka TV show that helped get Thrawn back. I can't even remember her name. Morgan Elsbeth. Is that it?
Yeah. I'm going to pull Gina on this one.
Yes. Elsbeth. You're right. I was like, it's Elsbeth. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so it'll talk about those two characters. Elsbeth, it'll show her pre-story from Ahsoka because she died in Ahsoka. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And then Barriss Offee, haven't seen since Clone Wars. She basically broke from the Jedi and tried to did like a terrorist thing. So we don't know what happened to her. But whereas Visions was kind of something that anybody could watch without a lot of Star Wars knowledge. I'm not sure about
that. I think you need a lot of background. You need about Witches of Dathomir. You need to know more stuff.
We're going to need the background. See, I was hoping we wouldn't.
I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll find out. We'll watch it and we'll let you guys know if you need a lot of background or not. So, guys, if you have suggestions on what you want us to watch, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Message us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, anywhere. We're taking suggestions all the time. And we've used as many as we have gotten. So, and although there's a couple coming up that were suggested a long time ago that we're finally going to get around to. So, guys, we have new shows coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Gina, Kate, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.